My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons. Welcome to Pixels and Polygons. Again, I am Darren Hupke. This is my conversational podcast where I sit down with different guests each week with no real goal other than just to have a fun conversation. We set ourselves up with a few different prompts or questions just to kind of create the dialogue, and it's all under the umbrella of different themes and different topics. So each week you're going to get, you know, different people, different voices, you're going to get different perspectives and different opinions, but ultimately we're just here to have some fun, and hopefully you get some entertainment out of listening to us in our conversation. You'll find more information about my guests in like the show notes below or whatever podcast app you're listening to, and I'll also let them introduce themselves as we get into the topic. So this week we're talking about video game hardware, so enjoy the show. All right, this episode's theme, the umbrella we're going to be under is hardware, and the prompt that we have, my guest for this episode again is Jeff. Jeff, yep. How do you pronounce your last name, Jeff?
Amaranto.
I don't know why. I'm not confident enough to just know that. But like,
it's totally okay. For years and years, every place I worked, when people first read it, their first reaction is to say Amaretta, which is fair. But Amaranto. That's.
You also like El Jefe as a nickname too?
Not so much.
Okay. Well, I guess that's on me. All right. But we are here talking in this episode about hardware, and so Jeff, you wanted to bring out a prompt for us. So what do you want to lead us through? What is your prompt for our hardware topic today?
Rather than choose like your favorite console, I really want to ask you what's your favorite handheld console of all time?
Rad. All right. Well, do you have one before I answer? Do you have one?
I'm between like a few, but I really want to hear what you have to say.
Okay. I was going to ask. I was going to give you choice. Did you want to share first? You want me to share first?
But I want to hear what you got.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was you preemptively like threw the idea out at me earlier, so like I kind of had an idea to think about it. So this isn't totally on the spot like response, but. On my drive home, I was literally thinking like, oh, okay, it's going to be this, because it reminds me of this, and it had a lot of this. And I was like, well, actually, more this handheld then, because that had a lot of this. And I was like, oh, you know what? No, forget that. So I like went through four before I think I'm going to settle on the Game Boy Advance as my favorite handheld.
I really thought you were going to choose like the Vita or
I ran through the Vita.
You are a PlayStation guy.
I ran through the Vita and then I ran through the PSP, and then both the reasons I loved those, like the PSP more so than the Vita. I like the Vita, but I mean, love them both, but on PSP I remember playing like, I mean, there's Monster Hunter games, there's the Metal Gear digital graphic novels, Peace Walker, I played a ton, and then Peace even Walker downloaded like the app Ad Hoc Party that let you play ad hoc games via infrastructure mode, which meant you can play worldwide, and I remember playing like tons of Peace Walker. There was like nostalgia and like, not nostalgia, but like niche, like Sony style games that were like under the radar, like Jean d'Arc and Field Commander were like good tactics and strategy games that were overlooked. Pursuit Force,
Patapon,
1, 2, and 3 are on there. Like they're a port of Parappa the Rapper, Persona 1, 2, and 3.
So what you're telling me, it is the PSP, right?
No. So that's how much I love the PSP.
Yeah, and then
I realized, like,
it's
oh man,
for me, for sure.
Like, yeah, the PSP I love so much, and just because of its like unique games plus RPG catalog. And then I was like, wait a minute, like the 3DS was like that for me. I like Shin Megami Tensei 4, like it had the DS catalog like playable as well. I obsessed over the Street Pass games, like MiiForce and like that gardening one. Like I was like all about those. And then my wife and I both went to, back in our poor days living in California, we went to a laundromat and I had our 3DSs both were in our laundry basket, and I unknowingly just dumped all that in a washing machine when we got there, started it, boom, water damaged and ruined our 3DSs.
Oh, no.
Which, and Nintendo's broken ass like online services don't tie your purchases to like a unique ID, so I couldn't re-download anything. No save files were backed
up.
That
could be a whole episode on its own, dealing with.
that is my last experience, like, committing to a Nintendo platform was losing all that 3DS stuff. I was like,
oh,
okay, cool.
Wow.
So Nintendo,
changed
you burned
you.
Me.
But
yeah, so going back in time from there, I realized, wait, 3DS had all that, but so did the DS. The DS had some great Castlevania titles, but it also had great RPGs. And then I was like, wait a minute. No, the Game Boy Advance had like some great ones. So that's where I'm going to say I'm going to pick, because it also, like the DS and 3DS, had like backwards compatibility. So I remember day one, Game Boy Advance, loving Castlevania Circle of the Moon, but still having Mario Tennis, Game Boy Color, like playing, like alternating my playtime. Yeah. Going into like Harvest Moon, Friends of Mineral Town, which is like my favorite Harvest Moon game. Then Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, which is like a fantastic RPG. And then you had Final Fantasy 4, 5, and 6 Advanced. It was my first exposure to Final Fantasy 5 and the amazing job system that had. The first like American exposure to Fire Emblem, Advanced Wars 1 and 2. There was so much like great content. And then Mario, Super Mario Advance, and like the ports of like some of the best Super Nintendo titles, like even to it, Metroid Fusion, like Game Boy Advance. It was just compact and simple, and just something about like that when the Game Boy Advance SP came out, and I had like the Nintendo like retro designed one that was just like, yeah, I'm fucking cooler than you. Yeah. I don't have that Game Boy Advance.
Oh,
with
the SP. Oh,
yeah.
But
that was it. That was my thing. And that to me, I think just because of the amount of genres it has, like RPGs are always big for me. Mm-hmm. Like I'm definitely an RPG guy, but they had quite a number on there, but also just great action titles, Castlevania titles, like tons of fun stuff on it. And just being so like simple. I mean, it was 4 buttons and a really solid D-pad and just a nice backlit screen when the SP came out. Like that is my go-to handle. But realizing, thinking all that through, I have such a love for handhelds. I want another like Sony quality handhelds
don't talk to me about the PlayStation Portal and how disappointed I was that was just a streaming title. I love you going through the history of it because I have a lot of the same experiences. I actually, growing up, I preferred my handhelds over my main consoles. I just that's just how I prefer my console. And right now, my favorite system I play mostly everything on is my Steam Deck, right? It's just my PC moving around. But if I were to really, really choose the one handheld console, and try not to be like super nostalgic about it, but just my favorite and I think is the most versatile, it's the Nintendo Switch for me. I think when I originally saw the teaser for it, I've always been a Game Boy kid. My favorite system has always been all the Game Boys and the DSs. I have all of it. I've had every single iteration of it, even like the fat old Game Boy. I've always preferred Nintendo's handheld consoles. So when they released, I think it was like the sizzle reel of what the new system was going to be, I remember being super disappointed in the last generation, the Wii U, of like seeing the tablet and being like, man, they should have just went full handheld. That would have been my dream. Seeing what it could do, that it was a full handheld that you could plug into a dock and it's basically a full console. And then if you're on the go, you can take out the little Joy-Cons and, play two-player games. I just thought the idea, the gimmick of it, just really, really worked for me. And I played some of my favorite indie titles on it, and I still to this day, it's the system I go to when people come over. Anytime people come over, we bust out Towerfall and go crazy, or we play Smash Brothers. Or if you were to look at my titles, all the titles, my library that I have on it, it's just party games. And I've spent hours and hours in hotel rooms screaming with friends playing Duck Game and just all these titles. It's done so much for me and just my get-togethers and anytime I'm on a trip. My very first Zelda that I beat was Breath of the Wild, and it blew my mind. It blew my freaking mind. And I was super disappointed going back. And I know a lot of those games are classics, and maybe that's something we could talk about later. Just gaps in your game knowledge of some of these classics, but just Breath of the Wild is, I think, is one of my favorite games of all time. And even just looking at the list, going back, all these games I've played, like I played Celeste for the first time. I was obsessed with even the Monster Hunter Rise games. The Super Mario 3D World, I think, is improved on the Switch. That's where I first played Hades. I'm looking at all these games. Oh, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Mario World Odyssey, just banger after banger. Just really, it would be disingenuous to say it isn't my favorite because it's the one I spent the most time with.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm so scarred and burned by the 3DS that like I just outright refused like Switch. Like we bought a Switch early on, and it was primarily like, yo, no, this is my wife's. Like this is Nicole. This is all you. You make the profile on there. Like you play your things. Like I guess if I really needed it to be available to me, like I've got it. But like I purposefully like avoided playing on it because I was just so hurt by them like not letting me get my content back and not like having any type of backup or protection or safety or anything. And then like, but it is it's weird you mentioned like you loved like the handhelds, just like the portability, and it is a different experience. But the Switch like made the feel of a primary console, a primary like next generation system, but it was also portable. Like it's not like you're getting like a watered down version or like the
No,
Game
no.
Boy Advance version of a game, which is just made farmed out to a secondary team, and it's just a platforming or kart racing version of something bigger and better. It is like such a huge thing. And then because of that, just that initial success and the wave that it rode, like you got ports of some of the best games like over history, huge indie support, and like so many like the ability for so many people to experience games for the first time like on that hardware. You do have to give it its a respect and its attention. It is like Nintendo can't really do wrong. Like I mean they can. I mean that system to me, if there was like an as gimmicky as it is, I love my trophies, I love my profile, I love like the social aspect of my video game identity. Not being able to have much of that on the Switch is like I feel like a miss. I think if a Switch
Yes,
2
I agree. I
if
agree.
yeah if a Switch 2 shows up, is backwards compatible, is a boost in hardware, and has like more integrated like profile or identity components,
Yo, if they had
I'd be
trophies,
on board.
achievements,
I'd be on
over.
board. Yeah,
It'd be over.
I'll return to Nintendo and I'll,
And
settle
as
my
gamers,
beef.
we all know that the online network for Nintendo is very behind compared to some of the other systems. But yeah, if they caught up, I would love a Switch too. But I also think the Switch because I don't think I get a Steam Deck without a Switch coming
Yeah,
out. So,
yeah.
and the Steam Deck is it's currently, I think it's my perfect system.
Yeah, that's rip.
Yeah, I really, yeah. If I had my PlayStation 5 Steam Deck in the future, that's it for me. That's like, that's my ideal system. But yeah.
Right on. Well, then that's hardware one, talking about our favorite handheld systems. So curious to see where this topic will take us and this theme will take us in future episodes. But thanks, Jeff. Do you have like social media handles or things that you want to share that people can find
Chatter?
Or do you care?
You could find a lot of just my art in general that I randomly post on Instagram at JeffAmoranto. I'm there. And then also I have a YouTube channel with a few films that I made called The Beige Room, a little documentary, dance documentary I have up on there. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
Cool. Yeah, I'm not going to make a show profile for this. I've done things like that for projects in the past. So you could just find me on everything. I've cut the cord on Twitter, so I'm on Threads and Blue Sky and Instagram.
You're not X guy no more.
It's too creepy, too weird. I'm at Darren Hupke, and I'm like pretty much all those things. So pretty easy to find there. But thanks for listening, everybody. And we will do more prompts, more episodes, more conversations in the future. Well, I've got friend of the podcast, friend of the books, friend of the all the video game stuff I do, basically, at this point. Brian Rigsby from RetroGameBooks.com is chatting again. Hello again, Brian.
Thanks for having me again. just keep saying that.
Yeah, I was gonna like reveal it again. Like this will be another episode where I say, "Hey, we've recorded these all in one session, and they're recorded at the exact same time." But it doesn't.
Should I change my shirt, or is this gonna be audio only?
It's gonna be audio only, so no one will actually care, and I wouldn't have needed to classify that. But either way, whatever. The question that we're gonna bring to this session, and you, dealer's choice, you picked this, so I'm curious to hear what you think. But what is your favorite handheld of all time? And if you want to get like, you know, in the weeds about that and like redefine what a handheld is to you, like I'm okay with that. Or it could be just like the obvious choice and that's okay too. But I'd love to hear what is your favorite handheld of all time?
Yeah, so this is not the best handheld of all time, right? The question is favorite, so I think it's fair. So for me, it's mostly about the experience and the entry point and all those kind of things. So for me, it's the original Game Boy, right? I know when people think about the original Game Boy, they think, oh my God, that thing is humongous. It destroys batteries. You can't see it in the dark. It's one tone of green-ish, right? But with a great library of games that are really fun, you know, and a lot of originals that kind of got their start on that system. But for me, like the reason why it stands out is, I was actually visiting my dad in Hong Kong at the time, when the Game Boy had only been out for a few years, I think. And he bought one for me there in like a market, and they said, "Hey, you get two games with it." And I started pointing at, as a kid, I started pointing at like certain games. I said, no, from the cheap bin down there, you get to pick from the games that no one likes. So I picked those and they were terrible. I can't even remember what they are. And, you know, later I would go on to play endless hours of Tetris and have dreams about it. Someone lent me, I can't remember which Pokemon, if it was Red or Blue, but I just remember really loving it. I remember even at the time thinking like, I'm too old for Pokemon, but then being like, oh, it's an RPG. Oh, this is really great. I'm not too old for this. I'm still not too old for this. And so like, really, it was just like the experience of getting it there with him, taking it home. I was that kid in class where like I brought my Game Boy to class sometimes and would sit in the back and try to like sneak some games in. I remember an English teacher catching me once and I thought I was going to get in trouble. And he said, no, it's fine if you want to do it. And I think it was like a test. Like he probably was hoping I'd put it away and think like my education was more important. I thought, wow, what a cool guy. He's letting me play my Game Boy. I was not too smart for the class, by the way. Like I needed that class. But so there was that. I mean, sure, like, you know, the Switch is revolutionary. It's become one of my favorites. My brother was lucky enough, and he still has it. He has the Turbo Express, like the TurboGrafx-16 portable system with that brilliant screen, that like kind of a cupped screen with like the beautiful colors, also a battery hog. But he had a few really awesome games. He had one of the Bonk games for it, and I think it was called Ninja Spirit, which is like such an awesome game. If people haven't played that, emulate it if you have to, do whatever you have to do. He actually just got it repaired recently because it stopped working on him, and it cost more money to repair than he would have liked. But I'm glad he didn't ever got rid of it, because that thing is a relic now. I'm looking right now, I'm like, oh, $1,000 on eBay. Jeez. So yeah, the original Game Boy. I had the little magnifying glass thing for it, that little peripheral with the, it wasn't about the magnifying glass so much as it was about the light addition that it had, because you really needed that light. I remember sitting in the back of a car on trips with my mom, and it would start to get dark out, and I would wait for a street light to shine by so I could quickly do a piece of the game, and like you do everything to squeeze some juice out of it. So I just have a lot of fond memories and a lot of spent batteries with that one.
That's fun. Do you have, I mean, it doesn't have to be like the top three favorite games or whatever, but are there just three games that you can, that come to mind that were just like absolute classics for you or absolute jams?
Yeah, I mean, Tetris and Pokemon are going to be up there. Link's Awakening. That was on the original Game Boy, right? Yeah. I'm like, should I look up my collection? Final Fantasy Adventure. That was like, that was such a killer game. I love that game. I'd put those four in my top.
Yeah. I never had an original Game Boy. A cousin of mine had a Game Boy Pocket when that came out, pre-color. It was just like that slimmed down version, less green, but still the same complaints. I did end up, like, my first one, I think, from a Nintendo handheld was the Game Boy Advance, like that original, like, launch model. And that still suffered from the same thing. Like, you needed lighting and everything. And having Castlevania Circle of the Moon to, like, be that first game I was trying to play, it was so dark. And it was, like, even in good daylight and good lighting conditions, you were kind of struggling to see and everything. So it's crazy how modern systems and backlights, like, you don't think about, like, the impact that actually had. Like, I do remember, like, all those, like, fights of, like, trying to, like, find and finagle and do all that. But yeah, you talking about Pokemon too. That reminded me, my first experience with that, again, I didn't have the Game Boy, but I had the power of the internet at the time, and managed to just somehow stumble upon emulators as a young child, and found some Game Boy emulator and downloaded Pokemon Red and Blue. But the emulator would let us like bind any key we want to be any button on the Game Boy, and so we would split the keyboard and we would make a D-pad and the A and B button on the left side of the keyboard, and then player two or the other Game Boy like be on the right side. And my cousin and I would sit side by side with a full screen emulator running with the split screen of just like two different versions of Pokemon running at the same time, and it allowed for like trading and everything as well too. So we got to experience the full Pokemon phenomenon. We got to experience even without having to own it. So hundreds of hours, you know, of like just a good time in doing that and everything. And eventually he stopped playing, and you know, player two was just empty over there, but like I just kept playing myself, and you couldn't keep me away. Like, video games were always something special for me, and like even then I was like, what else would you rather be doing right now? Why are you not wanting to play this Pokemon game? Like, fine, go do whatever you want to do, but I'm gonna sit right here on this computer. But good times.
I should revisit that game sometime for sure.
Yeah, the originals, it's good. I just, the pixel art of it, the music of it, like I think it was, I don't know much about the modern Pokemon games, but I don't know how much the mechanics Same. Have evolved, or if they've gotten like too ridiculous or out there. But it's almost like those Nintendo 64 wrestling games we spoke about. Like, there was just a balance to that you could like skill and master and have fun with. Like, I have tried to play some like modern games. Like, a friend of mine like tried to convince me to buy one, and I actually did buy it. Like one of those WWE 2K ones from a couple years back, and it's just like the controls are just like, every type of situation that you're standing in, you have to press different things. It's like
too many control options makes it unaccessible, you know? And so like, I think for those Pokemon mm-hmm. games, those early ones have, I think, just the right balance, the right access and the right kind of, you know, how they gate you through like the content to kind of enjoy it, that I don't know if this, the new ones have that same level or if it's kind of overdone in that same way. So there's just a certain charm to that intelligent balance and design of it all. But that's cool.
Yeah, definitely.
I think I answered this and I think I may have shared, in another part, and this is going to sound odd because I'm going to package this with that other conversation I had with my friend, Jeff, about handheld. I think I said the Game Boy Advance SP, and if I didn't say it there, I'm saying it now and contradicting myself, but I think it's just because of the backwards compatibility of it all, and then the library that grew to have, and then the SP itself. Like, I just love that flip-top design and the backlight to it, and it was just, I don't know, that was just a nice, really portable, but also high-end machine. Being able to play games like A Link to the Past and things portably, you know, Harvest Moon and like all these different types of games, like I said, the Castlevania games before, like, it was just great to have like that massive library available to you, plus the growing solid library of the GBA, all in this really compact and self-protecting clamshell design. Like, it was a good balance.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I think I answered it in the other question, so I won't elaborate too much myself here. But yeah, Brian, I appreciate you joining again. Hopefully we do a bunch more of these and we got more questions we can always answer and dive into together. So yeah. Like I said, I'll plug the website and everything. Y'all should check out retrogamebooks.com, the best place to buy retro gaming books on the internet, in my biased opinion.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, it is true. The I had bought, what was the first book? I think I got The Greatest Hits of the Video Game Maps NES from you. I think that was my first purchase from you.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you had sent like trading cards and stickers and things like that. And I have done stickers for my books, but I was like, oh, trading cards, like, this is kind of cool. And so I have now created, like, ripped off straight. These are retro gaming book steals.
I mean, come on, mine come from X-Men 90s era, right?
Yeah, but I just liked having like those extras and all, so it was cool. So I made one for the Namco book that you have for mm-hmm. Volume 2, and then I'm doing one for Volume 3, which I'll send you when we get Volume 3 like available. But I just put the order in for the card. It's an Alucard, Symphony of the Night, like trading card as well, too.
Nice.
But all those types of things.
Oh, I think I saw the picture for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
But all that came from like retro game books. So, I mean, you get some good stuff, but it's just like the package you get with it all, and the options that you have, like those wax card packs. Like, you just have some fun stuff. And then I ordered that, I have it right here, but that VG Maps, I got the non, I didn't realize that. Yeah, I didn't realize that the version I got was like a slimmed down version, or like, you know, what is it called? The NES one that I have.
The Greatest Hits version,
Yeah, so I didn't, when you restocked the other one, I was like, wait, is it a different one than I have? And I was like, oh, there's more? Sure, I'll buy it again.
I think I'm throwing a lot of people off with that. It was an excuse to do a cool Konami cover, but, you know, I most people really want the big boy. They want the whole thing, you know. Even though I think most people are drawn to the most popular games, they want to see as much content as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I double dipped, and I would say buy both still, and it's still fun to have, you know, both volumes. But that special little set that you had like the graph paper to like design and draw your own maps.
Yeah, the dot grid is the best way to go, in my opinion.
Yeah, it reminds me of like making maps and all that stuff with my friends growing up. We would spend a lot of time doing that. So I don't know why we loved maps as well. So when you shared like you were making books like that, and I saw those things, like, that was really cool. And we used to get 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper and make like a large like continent or like a large just fantasy map of our own and draw like landmarks. And like my friend used to put like draw like an AJ's card shop in every single like piece of paper, so he had like a franchise of these places for no reason other than just to have like a unique excuse to like have fun with geography and creating maps and doing these things from like obviously influenced from like these NES era games with their world maps and everything. So it's cool. But check out those books. Go to Brian's website and spend money. He's a good dude. So that's the end of this section then, y'all. Thanks.